Morning, everyone. I will be reading James chapter 3. Just lend me your patience as well as your ears as I read the passage, please. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire of a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done, and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from the heavens is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers, so in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. Thank you all so much.
Hello, everyone. I'll be singing from hymn 600, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Every hour, most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby, temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Aroma, for the beautiful singing and AJ's reading. It's so beautiful, isn't it? Welcome, everyone, for attending today's Sunday worship service. And I want to give a special welcome to my friend, Jera Stewart, and from the back, and my friends from Toastmaster Club, Tiffany and Joe, and some student I didn't see you for a while, Stephen. And then my friend who will join online from Chicago, Bonnie, and my family in Taiwan. And everyone who pray for me behind the scene. I feel your love. I'm in debt for your prayer. Thank you very much. So let me pray. Dear Lord, please bless this message. Guide me with your wisdom from heaven, so my words may be pleasing to you and build up others. Thank God for granting me this opportunity to speak for you as a woman. And I pray you may continue to raise up many women speakers for your work. I thank God for those who pray for me and pray for the kingdom of God. May your words flow through me and speak to all audience today. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the past 3 weeks, we heard Pastor Steve, Pastor Russell, and Kevin did preach on James chapter 1 and 2. They talk about Christian faith, these, and the buffet of wisdom. Remember that? Today, we will dive in deeper about what James say on chapter 1. He say, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Also on verse 26, he says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves. Part one, taming the tongue. Verse 1 and 2 say, "Now many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." In the time of James, teachers were religious leaders. So primarily, James is speaking here to those who would be Bible teachers, but also teachers in general. It's not easy to be a teacher because the people hold you accountable. So how many of you are teachers? Or used to be teachers? I know I was once a teacher after I graduated from college. I taught 2 classes and stayed in the dormitory as a RA, like a Stephen. It wasn't easy because people hold you accountable. Verse 1 says, "You will be judged more strictly by what you teach." It's not easy to live what we say. Last week, Steve reminded us to live as doers of our words. We show our faith in God, not by words alone, but by action. James' point is not to discourage us from becoming teachers. Bible teachers is crucial to the life and growth of believers everywhere. It is a high calling, holy responsibility, and a noble task, which should be desired according to 1 Timothy 3:1. James is discouraging people, however, from presuming that Bible teaching is a quick and dirty way to achieve social respectability. It is because Bible teaching is a service to God and will be judged as such. Those who would like to use a Bible study as a mean of a worldly advancement and self-promotion had better think twice. Next, James shifted his attention to our tongue, because what we say can have a great impact on others. Verse 3 and 4 says, "When we put the bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a sheep as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go." You can see the bits are so small compared with the horse. "One small bit in the horse mouth or small movement in the rudder of a ship can determine the direction where to go." So you can see this, the picture we took at the Smoky Mountain 2015. We look so small compared with the horse itself. Same with our tongue. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Just like a small spark in the forest can cause a giant forest fire. Like recently we heard in Oregon and other places have a fire. Verse 6 emphasizes the tongue also is a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. The tongue is a powerful weapon. Psalm 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." One famous quote says, "The tongue has no bone, but it's strong enough to break a heart. Do you believe that? At a life festival, Toby Mack shared his testimony about the death of his 23-year-old son. Can you imagine a father bury his own son? I don't think we can ever imagine that kind of pain. And I know Kevin probably can understand. Many years ago, as he buried his daughter. Through his dad, Toby Mack realized that life is precious, and he can either give life or drain life. This inspired him to use his words and his songs to give life instead of drain life. I pray we can use our tongue well to give life and wisdom instead of drain other people's life. James continue on verse 7-8. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Many of you know I'm part of a Westgate Toastmaster Club, and some of my club members are here today. The club helps people improve their public speaking skill. A couple years ago, Pastor Gray also organized and led the Emotional Healthy Relationship Workshop. The workshop is to help us build positive relationship and learn how to communicate with other people with our tongue. Both the public speaking and relationship workshop are all very helpful. Yet, ultimately, we can tame our tongue without God's help. Because of our sinful nature, which it doesn't like to be tamed or trained. Now, how many of you watch the Olympic game? Great. What's your favorite sport? Okay. Now, I have some questions for you. Can you name any new sport that is added to the Olympic this year? If you got it right, you got the prize. What's that? Okay, Maria. Yeah, you're right. And who else? Chris, Timo? Two by two? That's right, three by three. You can come to get your prize. Any other new sports? Okay, Jim. That's right, the sport climbing. Yeah. Good. Yeah. And then Christian. Serving, that's right. Here you go. Great, you all got right. So we know at the Olympic game, the athletes, they train a lot. Only the top athletes in the world get to compete in the Olympic game. Not because they were born with those talents, but more so because they have spent countless hours training every day to get to where they are. The female 1500 meter Olympic gold medal winner, Katie Ledecky, shared how much she was trained. She said, I swim 10 times a week, including twice on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I also lift weights on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and do Pilates on Thursdays. That sounds crazy, isn't it? Can anyone of you do that? I know I can't. No wonder she's an Olympic gold winner. Likewise, our tongue needs to be trained for the better use. Speaking and memorizing God's words is one way to train our tongue. Although humanly, it's impossible to tame our tongue, it is a recipe for evil, full of a deadly poison. Yet, whatever is impossible with men, it's possible with God, if we believe it. When we seek God's help, God can help us to say the right word at the right time and at the right place. Now we are going to have a demonstration by Sue and Tiffany to show us how to use our tongue correctly. Now this is a positive way to respond. Thank you so much, Sue and Tiffany. So now you can see how contrast when we use our tongue wisely to build up others instead of tear people down. Thanks again. So let's look at verses 9 to 12. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both the fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce a fresh water. We can praise God with our tongue, but we can also curse others with it. Verses 11 and 12 tell us that what's in our hearts, that's what comes out of our mouth. So spring cannot produce fresh water. A fig tree cannot bear olives. At the same way, a heart of bitterness, envy, or selfish ambition cannot produce pure, peace-loving, considerate words. Hence, it is important to get our hearts right with God as of first importance. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus rebuked the teachers of the law, saying, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks, the heart is full of. Your mouth speaks of what is in your heart." When we don't use our tongue correctly, it negatively impacts others around us, and the result can be devastating. Therefore, we need God's wisdom to discern what are God's words and what are man's words. Proverbs 18:20 says, "From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lip, they are satisfied." When we speak of faith-filled words and pray, asking God to change something in our life, we can release our faith for His will to be done. But whenever we speak negatively, we are opening the door for the enemy. Praise is God's language, and complaining is the enemy's language. Your joy will increase when what you speak agree with God and His words. Part 2, living wisely. Most people want to appear wise by using their tongue in a sort of a competition with others. James indicated that some people has been going around claiming to have faith and yet having no fruit to show for it. James calls such faith demon-like faith. James is teaching that we should not claim wisdom without action. We should not claim faith without fruit. We should not claim knowledge without obedience. Look at the verse 13. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that come from wisdom." The wisdom of a Bible teacher is measured by his life, not by the words he uses. The wisdom of a Bible teacher is measured by the obedience with which he practices what he preaches. The wisdom of a Bible teacher is seen in his humble understanding that no one learns from anyone else, but we all learn from our Creator and the Father God. Verses 14 and 16 say, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." We do have a bitter envy and selfish ambition. Some have more, and it can be made them appear successful in the world. We should not think that such envy and ambition is admirable or boast about it. Nor should we pretend that we don't have it. We do. And it is, as James say, earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. What is more, it produces all kinds of disorder and result in every evil practice. So watch our heart. This generation, like every generation before it, needs wisdom from above. Let's read verse 17 together. "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. The wisdom that comes from heaven is not the wisdom from my parents. No, for the young children over here from CBF, you all grow up at church with the Christian parents. If you don't know what's the wisdom from heaven, then listen to your parents. The wisdom from heaven is not what my Bible teacher, Tammy, say, who invited me to study Bible back in 1993. The wisdom from heaven is not what my husband say. Oftentimes, he say one thing from my right ear, I go out to my left ear. The wisdom from heaven is not what the pastors say. Although the spiritual leaders play a very important role in our lives, ultimately, we need to seek the true wisdom from God, not from anyone else. God's wisdom is a tremendous gift we have received through the Word of God. And through the living words, our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. The gospel does not promote evil, envy, or selfish ambition. The gospel instead reveals our sin and our deed for a Savior to rescue us. The gospel is not to condemn us for many our sin and failures. It is to show us the way of true wisdom that leads to life. Our Lord Jesus Christ illustrated this for us by his beautiful life. His life of a pure devotion to God, submission on the cross, and endless dedication to the salvation of others. Our Lord Jesus was not swayed by riches or human wisdom or political power. Our Lord Jesus came to heal the sick, like a Samaritan woman, the man with the demon possessed. He saved the wicked. He saw everyone who repented and believed as his child and heir together with him of the eternal kingdom of God. He is, as Paul say, our righteousness from heaven. He is the wisdom from heaven that enables sinners to live a good life and carry out deeds of righteousness done in humility, not pride. What a wonderful Savior we have and precious Lord. May the wisdom of the Lord Jesus be evident in our peaceful, submissive, merciful, fruitful, impartial, and sincere life. Look at the verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I want to apologize to anyone who I had offended in the past with my words. I'm very sorry. I have been in UBF for 28 years for this church. Do you think I wasn't hurt by other people's words and action in the past? I was. Yeah, I have learned to forgive. One of my friends outside of UBF shared her life lesson with me at the coffee shop. Forgive what you cannot forget. It really speak to me, and I thought to share with you too, so we can be a peacemaker toward one another in this loving community, regardless of what happened in the past. We can tame our tongue and to be pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good food, impartial, and sincere. But we will always fall short of God, who is perfect in every way. So what do we do if we fail to tame our tongue? We repent and apologize. And what do we do if someone hurt us with their words? We communicate with that person directly, not behind their back, not go through others if it's not necessary. We reconcile with them and seek forgiveness. Peacemaker reap a harvest of righteousness. May God grant us peace and harvest of righteousness as we seek God's wisdom to tame of our tongue correctly with the wisdom from heaven. Thank you.